And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And that's the crux of this encounter between Jesus and that Samaritan woman, the question of how to worship God, Yahweh, the Holy One, infinite, almighty. How does one worship him? How do finite and fallen folks like ourselves draw near to God without risking judgment or condemnation? Now, I don't know that particular question grips us the way that it did the ancients. We've become a little too casual about the holy. None of us, I think, is really afraid that the Almighty might lash out against us if we don't watch ourselves. And that's okay, right? We shouldn't be afraid of God. That's one of the reasons Jesus came. But we should still be in awe of God, in awe of his presence, his majesty, his power, his love. And yet with the loss of fear, we seem to have lost the awe as well. And yet the question remains, how shall finite and fallen folks like ourselves draw near to this holy God, infinite and almighty, so that we might be blessed and receive light and life? For Jesus, and for the Jews, at that time it was the temple. That's what allowed them to access to God through the sacrifices and the cleansing and the purifications and the sanctifications, all according to God's word. Through the service of the holy priests, worshipers were given a way to approach Yahweh. And yet, for all those washings and offerings and prayers, no one was ever thoroughly cleansed. Defilement was removed, sin was covered over, but the heart in spirit, people remained lost, they remained alienated, weak, and enemies of God. The old wound that we have from Adam and Eve still festered, and fellowship with God foundered. Yet God wants fellowship with us. Yahweh wants fellowship restored with you, communion, and a common life in which you share spirit and life with him while you are restored and made whole and filled with grace and love and hope. And this is something that I think you and I can identify with. I mean, maybe not all that stuff about worship and holiness, but the desire, the longing to be made whole, to have an intimate life with God, to be clean, to have a good conscience, to be freed of all those dark places that inhabit our lives, to be at peace with all, sure of eternity. We long for that. God wants fellowship with you, and we want life with him. And yet the question comes back, how? Well, the Samaritans, at the time of Jesus' public ministry, thought that it was found on Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing, where Yahweh blessed his people as they entered the promised land after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But Jesus said that the Samaritans didn't really know what they were doing or what they were worshiping, for salvation is from the Jews. But that old barrier between the Samaritan and the Jew was about to fall, and true communion with God was about to be restored and made whole. And it wouldn't happen on that mountain in Samaria or at the temple in Jerusalem. It was going to happen outside of Jerusalem on a hill called Golgotha. Worship, fellowship, life with God, a life of faith that is at peace, that receives blessing and light. This must come in spirit and truth, through living water, with faith and the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus brought to that woman and what he gives to us and why we are here this morning. Now, this all started with Jesus' humility. Though he was and is God in the flesh and never needed to get tired the way that you and I do, he let himself be wearied by his travel in the same way that you or I would. And so that particular day outside of Sychar, he needed to rest and be refreshed. And he sat by that well, and he sent his disciples on into town to get food, and then he waited. And John tells us that it was about the sixth hour, which probably means late morning, midday, and Jesus was thirsty. I mention this because there's another time when Jesus himself would fully know the frailty of our human condition, and that would also take place around the sixth hour. And John noted it as well, that it was after Jesus had been flogged and beaten and crowned with thorns. It was about the sixth hour when Pilate said to the crowds, "Behold your king." On that day, the people rejected Jesus and Pilate gave him over to be crucified so that you and I might be able to find him in his weakness and his frailty at Golgotha and find life in him in the same way that that Samaritan woman found him by the well and also received life. Now, Jesus offered her living water, water that would well up to eternal life. Now, he was speaking of faith in the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit given by Christ is the one who moves us in faith to cling to Christ. We cling to him because he is the way and the truth and the life. We cling to him because he washes us clean and gives us new life so that we are clean within and without. In Christ, we find the old wound of Adam healed, and he restores us to fellowship with God. He brings us to the banquet table. He reconciles us to the Father and to one another, and is the one in whom we have eternal life, the life of God that is filled with grace and love and hope. And this is the wonderful movement that is set before us, right? Scripture shows us how God restores communion to us so that we can come to him and live with him and worship him in spirit and truth. The Father sends the Son into our flesh. The Son gives us his Holy Spirit and creates in us faith and new life. And then the Spirit turns us to the Son so that Jesus cleans us, makes us whole, and then brings us to his Father, there to live eternally. All is from him, and we are restored to him. In Christ, we worship in spirit and truth, not on mountaintops nor in temples, but in Christ. That's why he washes us in holy baptism and declares us forgiven by his word of absolution and feeds us at the altar so that we can have life, communion with God, intimacy, knowing his love and grace, believing, and then living in that grace with one another. Now, when the woman was given to know Jesus, you'll remember that she rushed off to her village, left her water jar behind, shared the good news, and the villagers came out to see Jesus. And hearing Jesus allowed them also to confess that he was indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. It turns out you all get to hear Jesus too, so that you can know him and believe. You hear him in the scriptures as they are read every week, for he is there speaking to you in his word. You hear him when you are baptized and forgiven, for he speaks to you in these gifts as well. You hear him when he feeds you with his body and blood. Never mind the pastor, those are Jesus' words to you, and he speaks to you through his servants. So receive his word, my friends, and believe, for he has come to reconcile you to the Father so that you too may worship Yahweh in spirit and truth and know all the love and grace of his life, even as you live in him. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.